Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Alrighty, Titans defeat the Warriors 27-24. Titans completed at 95% in the first half, while the Warriors at 88%. So both teams completed quite well. I mean, what a game for the Titans. And I'll tell you what, they're like, this is what I honestly haven't seen in a Titans jersey in a long time, is that last 15 minutes of defense. I can't remember the last time I saw the Titans. That wasn't just good for the Titans defense. That was good for any NRL side defense, as good as you can get in the National Rugby League each week. You're not going to get much better than that. Verrills made crazy two incredible try savers with 13 minutes to go. And then on top of that, they defend another set. And then the Warriors hold them down there for even longer. And then Foran makes a one-on-one incredible tackle. And then Brimo, after Foran's tackle, makes a try saving, like holding up over the line. That, to me, is what you can build a club around. You can build a club around that kind of defense. And yes, it's been a very slow start. And yes, it is only one game. They could fall off a complete cliff next week. But although it doesn't erase the fact that they're in the, you know, the bottom edge of the table, it is something that we've never seen the Titans really do. There's been patches and spurts, but I can't recall a time a Titans looked that gritty for a 15-minute period.
It feels weird to compliment a side defensively that concedes 24 points, but I caught the back end of that, you know, the last 20 minutes of that game yesterday. It was on Fox Sang and I just watched the end of it again. Like, most Titans side would have lost this game 50-27.
Oh, easy. They were 12-0 down to open the game.
It was wild. And yeah, once again, the Warriors, they love starting fast and falling off.
Yeah.
We'll get to it, but interesting.
Mm. What do you reckon, Timmy, about the Titans?
Yeah, just that. You said the last 18 minutes, the goal line defence, it was the first time this season that we've just seen what we expected of a Des Hasler coach side and the Des Hasler team's DNA coming out, because they were so gritty and there was so much desperation. And sure, it's their first win of the season, but it had been building for a few weeks, hadn't it? There was the draw at full time against the Raiders, got done in Golden Point. There was a bit of a point shootout against Manly last week, but again, they were within a whisker of winning that one as well. So look, the reward, there was finally a reward for the effort. And take out everything that's happened this season, that last 18-minute period and the way they defended their line against one of the best attacking outfits in the competition with attacking weapons everywhere, it was so good to see, because we were worried for a while there, especially when Tino went down, that maybe they're just going to be easy beats all season. But you go, no. We're starting to see the attack come out in this Titans side that we've seen in the last couple of years. Even when defence has been poor, there's some fight in this side.
Mm. I think, you know, I hate breaking games up because, you know, people... I don't like it because it's like there's 80 minutes of rugby league. But if you take out the first 10 minutes, they only really leaked, 12 points. Mm. So it's like if they were... Essentially, for 70 minutes, they let in two tries. Again, it's an 80-minute game and there's that extra 10 minutes. But when you look at it from that perspective, that's pretty bloody good defense against a Warriors side that is desperate for a win too. We're not talking about a Warriors side that, you know, is high and killing it and everything's going really well. Now, everything is going really well at Warriors and there's so much to be happy about. But the fact of the matter is you've got to win footy matches. And they haven't been winning footy matches. And they find themselves in a really tough position, because although I can watch that game on the weekend and say, look, The Warriors just are a few tweaks away from winning most of those matches. Doesn't change the fact that they are not winning the matches they should win. But back to the Titans. We'll get to the Warriors, obviously. AJ Brimson, like, you know, we've spoken about it for years on this show, but if he was at a bigger club, the appreciation he'd get for how good he is and how often he impacts games. Like, I can't recall the last time I watched Brimson at fullback and he didn't have at least one or two big moments in a game. It is unbelievable the amount his ability to capture or create big moments.
Yeah, and look, I understand why the Gold Coast Titans were doing what they were doing, but I think you just have to play him at fullback.
It's not even a start.
I just think, like, you might have a top six or seven fullback in the game. On his day, he can even climb higher.
Well, his Origin debut. Go back and watch that. You're telling me that isn't one of the better fullbacks in the game?
Well, if now that Ponga's out long term, if Walsh goes down, is he the Queensland fullback?
Him or Hammer?
Yeah, I like Brimson there, to be honest.
I'd go far better
ball player. I'd go Brimson.
Because you can keep Hammer at centre.
Yeah, Hammer's also like touch and go Origin with his hammy.
So Brimo, I thought he was outstanding. And just, as I said, just some of the, I don't know, I think it's because it's very hard to kind of like look at Brimo and go, what part of his game stands out to other fullbacks? You know, you look at Tommy and you go, he's this huge, incredible, super athlete, but he gets through a bunch of work. You look at Teddy, he has 30 hit-ups a game. You look at KP, it's the incredible footwork and ball playing. You look at Reece Walsh, it's the fact that he will chance his arm anywhere and a lightning 10 metres. Whereas Brimo is a bit of a mix of everything, like decent ball playing, pretty quick, pretty strong in contact, but it's the way he brings it all together that works for him, I think. Mm. So I thought he was absolutely outstanding. And, you know, without him, obviously, I don't think they win that match.
I was so happy for Tanner Boyd and his own boys.
Same.
He has been absolutely bashed from pillar to post across social media. And I spoke about it last week. I don't think the Titans have done Tanner Boyd any favours over the last few seasons, the way that they've utilised him and try to make him a 9, try and make him a 13, and to see him crash over in this one, I thought it was just a great moment. One of my favourite moments of the weekend, to be honest with you.
771 kicking metres.
How good.
The moment for me, for Titans fans who have been through a rough start of the year, obviously, was the big three standing up. And I've mentioned it a couple of times already and trying to look sort of glass half full for the Titans, that Fifita missed the start of the year. Then they lose Tino. Kieran Foran missed games. Brimson was playing centre. Granted, that was by choice. But it was Foran doing what Foran does best, an isolating big back rower on the half. Mm. And he got Fifita one-on-one with Sean Johnson, a decent half defender for the competition. Fifita one of them, storms through him, SJ holds on, but it's just Brimo supporting him, off his hip, offload try, just going quite simple. Mm. But that is that left edge does so, so well. And that's where you go, all right, these boys are back. They're all fit. They're all firing. This is what we have to look forward to, because there's so many points in this team. We know there is, but we haven't seen it early on in the year. That was the play for me.
I love Fifita's new kind of energy, where he understands that he's the guy that needs to make an impact. I think that you go back to look at years gone by, and it was almost he wanted to make an impact. Mm. And I think that now he's matured enough to know he needs to make an impact. And there are two different things: wanting to make an impact and knowing that you need to. It's a different mindset, because one is saying, I'm getting paid an X amount of money, so when the game's on the line, I need to create moments that definitely get me a try. So, for example, the drop under that happened out of dummy half, like that was set up by Fifita. That was called by Fifita. And then you look at it in the end of the game when they won, you know, he's talking to all the boys, he's G'ing them up. Like, that's where we're seeing a mature Fifita. And I mean, he's still only like 24, I think. So it's actually insane. That is basically accepting the role of a leader in the side. Whereas I think the younger Fifita was, I'm just a gun that loves playing footy. And look, both are really, really good footy players, but I think this is the one, the leader, the mature player, is what the Titans need
that,
right now.
That drop under that, like, whoever the hooker is does for him, and it was Randall on the weekend for his try, it's pretty, not easy to sell, but like, if you sell it properly, he's near unstoppable. Mm. Like, if the dummy half gets out, engages the marker, and you get Fifita, honestly, there could be two blokes there. You are not stopping him. Yeah. Can you imagine also being any defender, but imagine being a little like fullback defending at a marker right in front of the ruck on the line and seeing Fifita go to dummy half and going, shit, 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 shit,
just
shit.
Put your body in front and hope. Oh. Hope for the best. What do you reckon the Titans, mate?
They were good. I'm glad Rube brought up Tanner Boyd. I thought he was great, especially that little probably 15-minute period before halftime to get him back into it, get a couple of tries going. Obviously scored that first one. Sunk a field goal as well, right on the buzzer. Yeah, I was really happy to see. I mean, they were all great, and great that they were able to get their first win of the year. But to see him going well, you know, in a slightly different role. He had the number six on this week. You know, that looked like it suited him a little bit better too. So that was really exciting. Interesting as well, last week we spoke about the Titans. We put a market up for them. When will their first win of the season be? Mm. As is always the way when these things go up, the very next week, bang. They they knock it over and they shut us up. But great win. I don't think none of us saw it coming. And, yeah, I think those three names that you've singled out are probably the keys to it.
We pointed it out last week and it happened again this week. Des has goes over to New Zealand, down 12-0 after 8 minutes, and still goes, Fafita, stick to the plan. Mm. I'll put you on when the time comes. I would have had him on there as AFB put the ball down.
Oh, mate.
SOS, get him out.
Get him out there, yep.
He waited another 10 minutes. In fact, the Titans got back into the game and scored before he came on.
Look, it's easy to say we like that after they get the win, but they did get the win. That's the fact of the matter is they did get the win.
Yep.
And so what I like about that is that that's an experienced coach understanding that this is a long season and he's building towards something. There's a plan in place. So often I feel like, especially inexperienced coach, and you understand why, you get it, like there's so much pressure. But you look at it and you go, not even inexperienced coaches, more of some experienced coach, but you go, is there a plan here? And you know, even though the Knights got a win on the weekend, the last few weeks, you're genuinely questioning, is like, is there a plan here for what's going on? It's like, Cogger's out, Gamble's out, Cogger's in, Cogger's, you know, like all of these swapping, you go, what's the plan here? Like, did they sit down before the season? And I'm sure there is a plan, but obviously things have to be changed as you go. But did they sit down at the start of the season and go, regardless of what happens to us, there is a structured plan. Yes, we'll be flexible when we can, but we're going to be quite strong in our plan. And I think that's where Desi does a lot of respect for his courage in sticking to a plan. Now, we'll wait and see whether it works towards the end of the season. But on the weekend, it worked perfectly because when Fifita came on, they could go up another level and the Warriors, at the time, couldn't go with them. I thought Kelly, again, showing us like, you know, I'm sure a few people chuckled when we said, mate, this guy at his best is like Origin level. Like he is so good, especially in attack. Defensively, I kind of got getting to the space with him where he's just never going to be that good. Not never, it's a strong word, but in the near future, he's probably just not going to be a good defensive centre. But geez, in attack, he is something special.
He's got so much upside to him, it's crazy. And, you know, he always has five or six games a year where you just sit and go, oh my God.
Because I would have said you need some time in Queensland Cup a few weeks ago.
He's got those Shakira hips, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, they don't lie. They don't lie. So that move that he put on Rocco Berry. Rocco Berry being one of the better defensive centres for the last few weeks. Brian Kelly, again, shows what he can do in attack. So great win for the Titans. Yep, it's only one, but enjoy it. Like, you know, next week's next week. If you can't enjoy your wins and you're sitting there worrying about, oh, yeah, but we had a bad start to the season, like, I understand that, but it's like, what do you watch footy for if you can't enjoy the bloody wins?
I know we got a feature in Team of the Week, but just his starts, Jermaine Jolliffe from the weekend, 160 metres, 77 post-contact, 42 tackles, zero missed.
Insane.
Oof.
Insane.
Good player, Jolliffe.
You know, he's almost like Jensen at the Broncos, I think.
He's a lot like Jensen.
You know, like gets out there, just fucking rips and tears, doesn't get the appreciation like your Hasses, your Carrigans. I will say I thought Fodawaker was way better this week. Heaps of energy, very urgent, getting to where he needed to get to. I thought he was much better this week, Fodawaker. All right. Now, onto the Warriors. I was about to go into a whole new topic, but I'm like, you know, it's a long podcast. So I was going to talk about legs tackles and should we reward them and the Fodawaker awesome. Legs tackle on Laban. Let's just get into it quickly. So there's legs tackles. Should we have a call that, like, let's just call it legs, like surrender, where the ref identifies a play where it's been a strong leg tackle. I'm not talking about cover leg tackles. I'm not talking about leg tackles where they find their front but they're pushing through the line. I'm talking about good chopping Jake Trbojevic through the middle. You dominate you win the contact. You completely stop his momentum. Should we introduce to promote more legs tackles like that and better our technique with legs tackles with a legs call like the surrender call?
Well, Finu, he made the chop of the week. He copped a sin bin.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree with you, mate, but I don't know how the hell you do it.
Well, it's like a surrender call. So when the ref identifies someone's surrender, he calls surrender and he allows them to hold them for an extra second. With the legs one, you call legs. It wouldn't happen all the time. It would just be good legs tackle, legs, and he's allowed to lay there for an extra second or two.
Well, the call will be Starling. I call Tom Starling,
and the great
everyone
Tom
will
Starling.
Know they've got an extra 3 seconds to lay on the I think, Kempy, that's the way the game is heading at some point because I believe there's more safety around it and rewarding the legs and not going up high and slowing it down like that.
Well, it's conflicting. The studies have been shown going low actually knocks more people out, but other studies have shown other
things. Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I thought the lower ones did, but it's a bit all over the shop, isn't it? But I can see that there does get to a point where it becomes a reward for making these legs tackles and putting them down. And further into the future, and it won't happen anytime soon, but if it does, I think you're right. I think there will be a call of like surrender where you go, all right, you get to lay, hold them for an extra 2 or 3 seconds, whatever it might be, if you hear that call.
Yeah.
I'll never forget when I was coaching my under 15, 16 sides, Johnny Sutton came down one night to help out. And we did a bit of defense, and he said, all right, I just want to show you some technique stuff. And he got my little hooker to come out. Someone read it, hooker did chop tackle, perfect, textbook, how we all learned to tackle. And Sutton goes, if you ever do that again, I'm going to tell your coach to hook you. And I was just sort of like, fuck, that's harsh. And Sutton was like, it's useless to us. If you don't wrap up the ball, offload, who gives a fuck?
Well, as well as even if they don't offload, it's a quick play the ball.
Yeah.
Like it's... You'd
lose every way.
You'd rather catch and wait for people to come. It's like when in NRL, you're taught to catch and count people. So if the perfect tackle in NRL nowadays is to catch, another guy comes in, and then you hold them up as long as you can and you slowly take them to the ground. Because obviously the slower you take them to the ground, the more time you get to reset. And then obviously the step further to that is catching and dragging back, which you see Penrith do so well. But yeah, just a bit of food for thought. Okay, now on to the Warriors. The Warriors, they're a very strange one because they're not playing terrible footy. Their completion rates are pretty good. I think their defence, absolutely. I do get the feeling, though, that they're falling in love with attack a little bit too much. I do get the feeling that they are so eager to be like, look, we are so good, we can put on points and not falling in love with defense the way you need to, especially the last few games. And I also think that they're so structured and everyone does their job so well. I do think that sometimes you can almost get into like a monotonous kind of I'm just doing my job mindset. So like some of the lines that they're running, and the short lines in that, they're running them well, but are they running them like they're getting the ball? I think that they sometimes fall into the robotic, like I'm just running a line rather than I'm running a line to get the ball to bump that bloke. And I was watching on the weekend, I just felt like there were times where they were just kind of going through the motions is too aggressive. So they weren't just going through the motions, but they were just doing their job. I also think that some teams are starting to clue on defensively in how to read their shape because a lot of their shape, they actually don't spread wide and stick their winger out on the edge and kind of get the ball to him with a long pass. They actually fan out together, so like they're quite close and the passing is quite short and they fan out together, forcing defences to wedge in. But I think that a lot of defences, and Broncos are probably the best at this, at wedging in, but their edge back rower and half back, so that's their four and their three defender, become a second line of defence and cover. So it's almost like you get two cracks at the cherry. And I did notice on the weekend the Warriors were really good at getting that extra man, but the Titans were just sweeping behind. And so I think that they maybe need to tinker with their attack just a tiny bit, nothing major. They need to run their lines with more vigor. And also, I do think they've gone away a little bit from their plays around the ruck where they get points. And so I just think that things have been going so well for the Titans. Sometimes you need just a little bit of a wake-up call to go back to what got you to where you're kind of at the moment.
I think it's wild the way that they start games and then just fade.
Well, they can't...
Like, we're only... What are we, 8 games in? It's happened 3 times. They've had a bye. They're only 7 games in. It's happened three... Like, I reckon they've had... those 3 games, the opening 15 minutes, some of the best 15 minutes of footy we've seen
all year. They really... Once the momentum swings against them...
Yeah.
They are too reliant on four hit ups, kick, four hit ups, kicks, which is a good thing, but the intent, like, put it this way, for 40 minutes, are you telling me for 40 minutes they had the same intensity as they did in that last 20? And so that says to me that they're just going through the motions, just doing the job.
Well, it almost felt like they were going through the motions, kicking a camp here and going, oh, he'll drop one soon.
Yeah.
And then we can play.
And so that's where I'm like, that's almost getting too used to the job rather than playing footy and being aggressive and playing with that extra percent. And the last 20 minutes, we saw them. Like, the line speed was way better. The contact was way – they completely dominated the Titans. And so that's a double-edged sword. One, it's like – mate, you shouldn't have waited that long. Two, it's good that we know that when we're really rip and tear, we can completely dominate this side. And so I think Webster will be looking at that going, boys, showing them that last 20 minutes and going, why aren't we playing this? I'd rather you play like this for 60 minutes and die in the end and lose the game because of fatigue than play like really good for 20 minutes, not good for 40 minutes, or not even not good. They still play okay, but just there's no energy. There's no urgency. So no urgency for 40 minutes and then urgency.
I think when you talk about losing a bit of energy, like Luke Metcalf was electric to start the season. And I like Tomato Martin, but he's a very different 5'8".
He had that good game against the Rabbitohs. Since then, those last two games, I think he's been quiet. He has not delivered the partnership that Sean Johnson needs, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you're right, Kemby. I was going to make the exact same point around just needing a little bit more variation in their attack. They're becoming predictable. And I said the exact same thing last week. Lay it on the left post, go back to the right, same shape. You explained it there well with the fanning out.
Hit short, I don't get it.
Just change it up a little bit. Doesn't have to be anything dramatic. No. I said, they're not losing games for much. The Dragons game, all right, line through that. But just a few little tweaks. Like, their left side's almost redundant. Like, you've got Roger Tuivasa-Sheck out there. He kind of just sits there and just has to go looking for it, and they'll just settle it there and then go back to the right, same thing, change it up.
Well, funnily you say that. RTS gets the ball in the first set, gets another in their second set, and then in the third set they had a play for him as well, and they went away from that.
Well,
and they were up 12-0.
You want to get your strike centres one-on-one with their opposition centre, and when they get it, they're that good that they'll beat them half-time or create attacking opportunities, score a try, create the two-on-one with the winger, whatever it might be. They're just not doing it with RTS. The only time I feel like they really bring him into the game is sometimes if they're going left, they'll just bring him under and let him play a little bit of broken fit play sort of stuff. But just they're not getting him any shape on the left to get those one-on-ones where you go, all right, try and stop me, because you won't, because he's a freak.
Yeah. Yeah, no. The thing is their systems are good, but it's the early version of a system, I think. I think we're seeing the early versions similar-ish to Penrith, like a few years ago. Obviously, Penrith are better, they'd on that streak. But there definitely needs to be some tinkering, because it becomes really predictable as a defence. Yeah. Like,
and
get up and jam and then sweep him behind.
And you look at the Adam Fanua-Blake impact. We've seen it a few weeks in a row, not as dramatic last week, but with Fanua-Blake on the field in this game, they're up 24-10. That is a substantial difference. And we saw it against the Dragons last week when they were in trouble and he came back on the field after the hot start. Hot start this week with him on the field. He's bringing so much to their middle, and they're not becoming reliant on him, but they do need to find ways to hold the middle a bit more when he's off the field.
Well, I think that they just lack urgency when he's off the field. They're almost going, we know we can score points, so we'll just – it'll come. You look at the last 20, that was an urgent Warriors side. For 40 minutes, although they were playing solid footy, there was no urgency. Like, they weren't ripping and tearing to dominate the side.
Yeah.
There was the moment, I think it was in about the 20th minute, Dylan Walker came on for Mitch Barnett. It's Dylan Walker's first game in 5 or 6 weeks, and fuck, he was gassed early walks. Mm. They really went at him around the ruck. But then I loved that they had an injury at left edge back row. Instead of taking Walker off, I felt like the coach almost said, hey, get out there and make up for it.
Mm.
Yeah. He kept him out there for like 60-odd minutes, and he was exhausted after 20, Walker.
Some positives, though.
Just before the positives, their right edge defensively, it's fallen off a cliff. Mm. Like, it was very good last year. And often when we see, like, defensively an edge go to water a little bit, there's personnel changes and the combinations and the communication changes a bit. They've kept it all together. I know the edge back row has changed a bit. I was a bit sceptical of why they moved forward from left to right when he'd been so good on the left edge and Leibarn came in. He had a poor miss for the Tanner Boyd try, but, you know, Dallin's been there long term. Rocco Berry's starting to make some uncharacteristic misses the last couple of weeks, one-on-ones. Dallin, there was two where he jammed in where he shouldn't have, where you're just like, mate, what are you doing? It's like there was no trust for the bloke on his inside. Look, they're good enough, and I'm sure they'll fix it, but really uncharacteristic what that right edge is doing defensively.
Oh, for sure. Like, I felt Berry, for a few games, was one of the better defensive centres in the comp. Last couple of weeks, like, that miss on Kelly, although it was great footwork from Kelly, but that's one-on-one centre. Yeah, one-on-one centre footwork. Like, and yeah, some of Watene Zalesniak's jamming in is just like, mate, I don't, the just one, the stay
one,
square.
The one coming out, the Titans coming off their own, like, 20 or 30, and they just went to the edge, and Dallin just jams for, like, no reason, just not trusting Rocco, whatever it was. They can't pray down the outside, back on the inside to Brimson try. Yeah. Like, just shouldn't have been scored.
Yeah. And look, there were some people that are going, oh, yeah, the old Warriors are back. Like, I don't think the old Warriors are back. I think right. They're a few tweaks away from playing some good footy, but it is definitely becoming alarming. Like, this could spiral out of control, not because they don't have the personnel or a good club or whatever, but from a confidence perspective. All of a sudden, you can start second-guessing yourself and, oh, do we have what it takes to, you know, kind of win the big games?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It wasn't even... Oh, no. Anyway, so hopefully they can fix that. Thoughts on the Warriors, mate?
Yeah, well, they've got to start, obviously, winning some games. They were they were disappointing, you know, on the weekend to lose. But I did think we've touched on Fenua Blake a little bit, how good he was. Mitch Barnett, though, worth a shout-out as well. Mm. Nearly cracked the 200 again. 110 post-contact metres for him as well. So those two having a good rip and a tear. But, yeah, you're right. As soon as Fenua Blake kind of has his first spell, that's when they kind of lose their sting a little bit.
Mate, for me, Barnett is firming pretty hard for New South Wales. Obviously, still quite a few weeks away, but he's firming pretty hard for me.
I probably had May in front of him a few weeks ago, but I think Barnett's definitely jumped him now. It'll be an interesting few weeks for the Warriors. They play the Newcastle Knights in Newcastle, then play the Roosters at Allianz, and then they play the Panthers for Magic Round. So three games all in Australia. It's going to be a big 3 weeks for them.
Yep.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.